Well, shalom, y'all. We want to welcome you to this week's teaching. You know, the Bible tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and says nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we are going to jump into this week's Torah portion. We are in our third portion so far in the book of Exodus, and we are continuing to discuss the topic of redemption. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the enemy hates redemption, how he tried to stop redemption from occurring. First, how he tried to stop Israel from being redeemed from Egypt by trying to kill and get rid of all the male children that were being born. And then we also discussed about how the enemy tried to kill all the males that were born during the time of Yeshua as well. Again, a second attempt from the enemy trying to stop redemption from occurring. But every time the enemy failed, and now in the world, we have an enemy who is trying to silence the people of God. He is trying to silence the gospel. He is doing anything and everything he can to stop the spread of the gospel. In some countries, people are being persecuted. They're being killed. They're being locked up and thrown into prison for the sharing of the gospel. And the enemy also has a way of putting fear within the heart of believers and making them timid and making them fearful of going out and sharing the gospel as well and being the light unto the world as they should be. And we need to be a people who stand against the tactics of the enemy and say, you are not going to keep us from spreading the good news or the gospel of Yeshua, the redemption story, the fact that through the blood of Yeshua, we are redeemed from our sins. We are cleansed of all of our sins, of all of our uncleanness. We have forgiveness through his blood. All we need to do is simply put our belief into him and then serve him. Live a life in obedience to him and to the word of God. This week, we actually read the story of the Passover in this week's Torah portion. So that is what we are going to discuss this week. So we are going to be in Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now, Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, ye shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Now, this, what we call the Passover story, is the plague of the firstborn. This is going to actually be the last plague that Egypt will experience. As we have read previously in the book of Exodus, we read of the previous plagues that Yahweh had brought unto Egypt to show Pharaoh that he was Yahweh, that he was the one, only, true, living God. Okay? So, we read through how he would bring a plague, but Pharaoh's heart would be hardened each time after each plague, and he still refused to allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt. Remember, this all starts with the fact that Yahweh has determined that it is time for Israel to leave Egypt. Remember what was spoken unto Abraham, your descendants will be a sojourner in a foreign land for 400 years. Well, that 400 years is up. Time is up. He has remembered his covenant that he has made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is now time for him to fulfill the promises that he spoke to the three patriarchs. And that was that they were to inherit the land of Canaan. So he is going to bring Israel to the land that was promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also tells Moses, you need to bring Israel out of Egypt so they can worship me here in the wilderness. Now, this teaches us and shows us that Israel was not actually able to worship Yahweh the way he desired to be worshiped while living in Egypt. We will learn in the Torah that Yahweh is set apart. He says, I am holy. He wants to be worshiped in holiness, in set apartness. He wants to be worshiped unlike the way the nations worship their God. So he gives them detailed instructions on how to worship him in that set apart manner, and a manner that is pleasing unto him, in a manner that is holy. He desires to be worshiped in holiness. Israel would not be able to worship him and walk in this holiness while in Egypt. It is believed that at this time that Israel had actually mingled in with Egypt, that they no longer were separated from Egypt, but they had become as the Egyptians. So Yahweh is literally pulling Israel out of Egypt. He says, I have to get you out of Egypt, out of this lifestyle, out of the influence of these people, in order for you to walk in the set apartness and to worship me as I desire to be worshiped. And ultimately, that place of worship was going to be in the land of Canaan. Okay. Now, Egypt speaks of sin in our lives. It speaks of this current world that we live in. This world can do the same thing to us as it did to Israel. If we're not careful, we can become conformed unto this world, conformed to the image of this world, to thinking like this world, to behaving like this world, to speaking like this world. So we have to be pulled out of this world. Now, we're not speaking of a physical sense of being pulled out of this world, though at a later date and time, that will occur. But as of this moment in time, we're talking of a spiritual sense. Spiritually, we have to be pulled out of this world. We need to be pulled out from the power of this world. Israel had mingled in with Egypt. Now they had become in bondage to Egypt, serving as slaves unto Egypt, building bricks for them. And they were heavy taskmasters. Egypt was heavy taskmasters over Israel. And they cried out to Yahweh for help because of the burden that they were under from Egypt. Well, that is what sin is to each and every person. Sin is a heavy burden that weighs us down. And to the unbeliever, it weighs them down to the point that they will receive eternal judgment and they will be cast into the lake of fire because they served sin instead of serving righteousness. Okay, so we are all born into this sinful nature, just as this generation of Israel who is living in Egypt, they were born into Egypt. They did not choose to go to Egypt on their own account. They didn't choose to go down there to serve as slaves unto Pharaoh. They were placed in there. They were born into that situation. We are born as slaves unto sin. So we needed someone to come along and set us free from this slavery. And that is what the redemption story is about. So in this last plague, we see the foreshadowing of what our Messiah, Yeshua, would do for us. In verse 3, it speaks of how they were to take a lamb into their house on the 10th day of the month. Okay, now on the 14th day, they are going to slaughter this lamb. And as we see in verse 5, that this lamb was to be without blemish. So you could say you bring the lamb in on the 10th day. This lamb almost becomes as a pet unto the family. This lamb that you're now going to sacrifice is now spending time with you and your family. I'm sure that makes the slaughter of that lamb a little harder than if it was stuck outside, separated from you. I believe this is Yahweh trying to show man the hurt, you could say, or the damage that sin causes. He wants them to see, wants us to see, that sin cost something. He wants them to see the weightiness of what it means for something to have to die for our sins. This was a lamb who was without blemish. This speaks of how Yeshua would come and he would be one without sin. He never disobeyed the Torah once. He perfectly walked in obedience to the Torah. He perfectly kept the Shabbat. He perfectly kept the feast. He perfectly worshiped his Father the way the Father wanted to be worshiped. And he perfectly loved the brothers, his neighbors, those around him, as the Torah had instructed us to love our brothers. And so he ultimately would go and he would give of his life, just as this lamb was slaughtered and killed, and the blood of that lamb was applied to the doorpost of the home, giving protection to those who are in that household. The same is said to us now, who have put the blood of Yeshua, the sinless one, the one who was without blemish, upon the doorpost of our hearts. And just as I was saying, he wanted them to see, they wanted them to have an emotional reaction. He wanted the slaughtering of this lamb to be a difficult and hard thing, to know that it cost you something to have redemption. So it cost somebody something for your sins to be forgiven. It cost Yeshua his life, and it was no light thing for him to do that. We also know that they would have had to examine this lamb to make sure that it was without blemish. Bringing it into the home on the 10th day gave them the time to examine and make sure that this lamb was a lamb without blemish, without spot. Yeshua was examined by the religious leaders of his time and was found to be without sin. They could find nothing against him. So after they applied the blood to the doorpost of the home, what we know that happens in this plague. So that night, judgment comes upon Egypt. So this angel swipes through or marches through Egypt. And upon every house that had blood applied to the door, it would pass by that house, and judgment would pass over that house. But to the houses that did not have blood applied to the door, judgment was rendered. And the judgment that was rendered was the death of the firstborn son. So upon that night, Israel would pack up their bags and they would leave in haste and they would march out of Egypt, never to come back to Egypt again. This is a message unto us. We are to leave behind sin, never to come back to sin again. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So that's what Passover is. It is a set apart time that Yahweh has given us, where the children of Israel were actually doing two things. They were keeping a memorial of how Yahweh had redeemed Israel out of Egypt. You know, Israel at this time, this generation of Israel, was learning of Yahweh and his might. They were learning of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the plagues just as much as Pharaoh was. But because of the faithfulness of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh showed mercy to this generation of Israel. He pulls them out of Israel, not because of anything that they have done, but because of Yahweh's faithfulness and what he had spoken unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He pulls them out and he teaches this generation about himself. And he says, "You shall keep an everlasting ordinance of the memorial of how I pulled you up out of Egypt, of how I heard your groaning and you crying out for help while you were serving under the heavy burden of Pharaoh. And number two, so that you will know that I am a faithful God who keeps his promises." So he is teaching this unto Israel. They are to keep this memorial every single year. And also while they are doing this, they are rehearsing what Yeshua would do when he came as their Messiah. When we study through the story of Passover, we don't have time to look at every single thing in this story. And we look at the things of unleavened bread, everything about it points to the life of Yeshua and the things that he did for us the first time he came to this earth to redeem mankind from sin. That is why he came, to redeem us from sin. So now we as his people who have been redeemed, who frankly did not deserve to have mercy shown to us, who did not deserve to receive grace from him, but yet we were shown mercy and grace anyway. And we have been redeemed from sin. We have been pulled out of sin, just like Israel was pulled out of Egypt to worship him. He pulled Israel out of Egypt so they could worship him in holiness. We have been pulled out of sin so that we can worship him in holiness. Okay, let's look at a verse from the Song of Moses. This is Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Hallelujah. That should be our hope even as believers today, that we who have been redeemed, He is guiding us by His Spirit and by His Word in His strength. He gives us the strength. It is by His power, by His Spirit, that we're able to do it. It's not by our ability. It's not by our might, our strength, but it's by His Spirit. And He's guiding us to His holy habitation. We have been redeemed to live and dwell with Him and to walk in holiness with Him, for He is holy. So we are His redeemed. What does redemption mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? You know, the Torah speaks of the redeeming kinsman. So we can look through the Torah and we can study the idea and the principles and the instructions that were given to this concept of the kinsman redeeming his relative. And that gives us a picture and teaches us about redemption. Now, the redemption kinsman was twofold. Number one, it was a way that in that culture, in that time, that a family member was able to take care of someone based upon the way society was and the way land ownership went to keep their brothers from falling into poverty and becoming a slave to somebody else. So there was this redeeming kinsman that was given to provide assistance and relief to those who were in need. Okay. But it also points us to what Yeshua would do for us as a redeemer, how He redeems us when we become a servant or a slave unto sin. And what did that redeeming kinsman have to do? They had to purchase back the land that their relative had owned that they lost. They had to buy it back. There had to be a purchase made. A transaction had to be made. That land no longer belonged to their relative. It rightfully belonged to somebody else. But the Torah provided a way that somebody could come in and purchase that land back for their relative that was in need. Well, that is what redemption is. We were born into sin, and Satan had every legal right unto us. The first moment in time that you sinned, that you broke the commandments of Yahweh, when you disobeyed His commandments, you forfeited any right that you had to be a child of God, and you now became the possession of Satan. You became a slave unto him. So a purchase had to be made to bring you back into right standing with Yahweh, so you could be a child of God. And that purchase was made by the blood that Yeshua shed upon that cross for us. His blood brought redemption unto us. His blood purchased us from Satan. So when we put our belief in Yeshua, when we believe that He died upon that cross for us, and on the third day, He rose out of that grave alive. And He is right now alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. When we possess that belief, we take His blood and we apply it unto our hearts. And now we receive redemption. We now are no longer under the power of sin. We're no longer a slave unto sin. We no longer belong unto Satan. We belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are a child of the living God, Yahweh. We are his children. Now we are free to serve him, to walk in righteousness, no longer walking in sin, but walking in righteousness. So does belief now say, because I believe in Yeshua, do I now continue to live my life as I did before I possessed my belief in Yeshua? No. Now it's time for us to repent, to turn from our evil ways, our sinful ways, which sin is disobedience to the Torah. It's disobedience to the commandments, the instructions that Yahweh has given us. So we are now free from that disobedience. We are now free to walk in obedience. Now, Paul tells us that we are a slave to whomever we obey. So if we say that we believe in Yeshua, but we continue to serve disobedience, we continue to be conformed to this world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua, then we are still serving sin. We are still a servant unto sin. We have to question whether or not we really possess a belief in Yeshua. A belief in Yeshua should cause a person to desire to put aside the former behaviors, to no longer be conformed unto this world, but to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. You know how we are transformed into the image of Yeshua? By walking in obedience to the word, by walking in obedience to his commandments, his instructions that he has given us to walk in. As we are obedient to them, we are transformed into the image of Yeshua. That is how he walked. We are to walk just as he walked. He walked in perfect obedience to the commandments, and that is his desire. So we are in the process of learning how to put aside the former behaviors, to no longer be conformed to this world, but to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. And it is a process. It is a daily process. And we live in a corrupted body. We have not yet put on incorruption. So we are going to be working this out. We are going to be fighting this battle until the day we die or until the day we hear that trumpet sound in the sky. But that is not an excuse for us to decide that we're just going to say, I can't do it, it'll never be done, so I'm just going to do however I want to do and purposefully and willingly conform ourselves to this world. Because you're playing a dangerous game. The book of Hebrews tells us not to trample upon the blood of Yeshua, and that's what we do when we do that. And we also know that there is no sacrifice for intentional sinning, meaning we need repentance. Now, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also shall be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So first thing Peter here tells us is to gird up. What does it mean to gird up? When they were instructed to gird up, the idea of girding up their loins, of pulling up their skirt or the robe that they're wearing. This was to prepare them to be able to run, or you could say to be ready for action. So what Peter is telling us, he says, gird up the loins of your minds, or be ready for action in your mind. Be ready. The battleground for every believer is in our mind. It's in our thoughts. It's fighting and battling the thoughts and the things that we think about. We are to think upon that which is pure, that which is good, that which is holy. Well, what is holy? What is good? What is pure? His word. Let's be people who think upon his word, who meditate upon his word. Allow that to be what is in our minds, not our minds being filled with the thoughts of the world around us, being conformed unto their thoughts, right? So don't be conformed unto this world, but transformed into the image of Yeshua. This is all something that has to take place in the mind. Our minds no longer being conformed to the thinking of this world, but being transformed into thinking the way the Bible instructs us to live our lives. So we need to be on guard, ready in our minds for every thought that comes to take it captive if it is not a thought that is from God. Okay? Second thing, be sober. Or what does it mean to be sober? You could say to be a person who is collected in spirit, or you could say one who is in control of one's thoughts and self. Okay, so a person who is drunk is not collected. They are not in control of themselves or their thoughts. A person who is drunk is pretty much at the whim of whatever comes their way. They're more prone to do something while they're drunk than what they would do if they were sober. So our minds are to be clear-headed, you could say, clear-headed, in control of one's thoughts. So our minds need to be ready for the battle and the action that is going on over every thought that comes our way. And in order to be ready for action, we also need to be one who is clear-headed, or one who is in control of one's thoughts. And in doing this, we can now become a person who is no longer walking in our former behaviors, but we are now able to do what he instructs us to do. Peter tells us we are to be obedient children. What are we to be obedient to? The instructions and the commandments Yahweh has given us, going all the way back unto Genesis. This includes the Torah. This includes the instructions given to us by Yeshua. This includes the writings of the apostles as well. The writings of Yeshua, the instructions of Yeshua, do not contradict the Torah themselves. In fact, he brings the Torah to a higher standard. The apostles themselves do not give instructions contrary to the Torah. They just give us a commentary, a teaching upon what these commandments mean and how we are to walk in them as believers in Yeshua. So we are to be obedient to the commands and the instructions in which Yahweh has given us, because his commandments, his instructions guide us on how to love him and how to love people. And if we can truly learn how to submit ourselves to the Spirit, to really know what it means to be obedient to the Spirit and to follow the Spirit and not to be led by our own desires. See, so many people can become so confused. They think they're being led by the Spirit when they're truly being led by the desires of their flesh. So we have to learn how to decide between our flesh and our spirit. One of the ways you can know is the Spirit is never going to lead you contrary to the commands and the instructions which Yahweh has given us. Never. That is the plumb line. the Torah, the instructions, the commandments, Scripture is the plumb line for us. So let's not lose focus of that. And as we walk in obedience to His word, we are holy, or you could say we are set apart. That is the purpose of His commandments. The purpose of His commandments, of His instructions, were not meant to justify Israel. They were meant to set them apart, to make them holy. Their obedience to the Torah, to the commandments, did not set them free from Egypt. It wasn't upon them learning how to perfectly obey the Torah, then God said, "Now I will pull you out of Egypt." No, it was the other way around. The Passover lamb died. The blood was shed. They're pulled out of Egypt. Then they are given the Torah, so that in walking in the Torah, they can be set apart. It is the same for us. Nobody will achieve salvation through obedience. We obtain salvation by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Yeshua. And then we are given the Torah as a tool to set us apart. Because He says, "Be holy as I am holy." So it is through walking in obedience to His word that we can be a people who are set apart. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 17. "And if you call on the Father who, without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We have been redeemed by something that is very costly. It is very precious, and that is the blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. So let us not trample upon His blood and think that we can just continue to conform ourselves to our former lust. But let's do as Peter said, submit ourselves unto obedience, to walk in obedience, and to be holy as He is holy. That is how we esteem the blood of Messiah. Because just as Peter said here, we need to conduct ourselves in fear, knowing that one day we will have to stand before the Father and give account for what we have done. We will have to take account for whether or not we have trampled on the blood of Yeshua. Well, hallelujah. I'm so glad that you have joined us. I hope that this has blessed you. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. We will be continuing here in the book of Exodus. We'll be continuing the story of how Israel is brought out of Egypt and ultimately given the Torah there in the wilderness to serve the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So come back, join us next week. So, shalom, y'all.